There was a family discussion in the kitchen of a small little house one day. The dad and his son was sitting at the table, the mom was up stirring around the kitchen. And the little boy turned to his dad and said, "Dad, tell me, how do wars begin? How do battles start? How does a fight start?" Since November 11, 1918, since then, for every year of war, there have been 2 minutes of peace. And the father sat there and he said, "Well, take the First World War. They got started when Germany invaded Belgium." And immediately the wife, stirring around the kitchen, interrupted and said, "Why don't you tell the boy the truth? Why don't you, if you're going to get the story, tell him the whole story. Don't leave anything out. Tell him the truth." Said, "Tell him that it was someone was murdered and everybody got mad and they began to kill each other." The husband, sitting there at the table, drew himself up with an air of superiority and he snapped back and he said, "Are you answering the question or am I? Who's he asking, you or me?" Well, the wife, being the loving person she was, got so mad, stomped out of the room, slammed the door, and when the dishes stopped rattling in the cabinets, the little boy looked at his dad and said, "Never mind, Dad, I know that." Battles come when people disagree with what we are doing. Several Sundays ago, I started a series about adoring our Redeemer, and I tried my best to get us to understand at Cedar Grove that we've got to adore our Redeemer because of our many, 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 many blessings. You say, "Well, what kind of blessings, church?" We don't have time to get into it, but the ability to walk into this building today is a blessing. The ability to put your clothes on is a blessing. The ability to drive your vehicle is a blessing. I'll tell you, each day is absolutely filled with blessings. And so where do they come from? I'll tell you where everything comes from. It comes from God Himself.
Amen.
And so I tried to get you to understand about our blessings. Last Lord's Day, I tried to remind us that we're to thank God for our buildings. God has blessed Cedar Grove more than a lot of places, for God has given us a magnificent facility to use for His glory. Did you notice what I said? To use for His glory. If you think this place belongs to you, you need to step aside, get off of the throne, because there's not but one that can sit on the throne, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I try to remind us how blessed we are. There's some churches around us who would love to have a building half this size, half this nice, half of what we've got, and yet God's blessed us with it. Don't you think God deserves a good hearty amen?
Amen.
Well, this morning, I want to share one other thing about how we ought to adore our Redeemer, and it's going to sound odd, but we ought to thank Him and bless Him and praise Him for our battles. Do you realize that you and I have battles? Being a Christian, I don't care what Joel Osteen may have told you, being a Christian does not exempt us from battles. Now listen to this. Just because I know the Lord Jesus Christ does not exempt me from physical battles. People say, "Well, once I come to know Jesus, I'll never have another sick day in my life." No, I'm not going to tell you that. Guess what? Physical battles still come. And there's some of you sitting in this sanctuary today. You're battling every day physically. And you know how you've made it this far? And do you realize how you'll make it the rest of the way? It's with God's help. That's how you do so. There's some of us that battle emotional battles. Do you not ever have those emotional days that you want to sit by yourself and cry your eyes out for no apparent reason? You say, "Oh, not me." Oh, yes, you. Could it be if it's not you? Maybe you're the one that's causing somebody to have to sit and cry their eyes out, right? We have emotional things. And the devil sits there and whispers, "Nobody cares, nobody likes you, and God doesn't like you," and all these things. Do you understand? We are not exempt from battles. But I will tell you this. The physical battles and the emotional battles help us to grow closer to the Lord. But now here's another thing. We face spiritual battles. Battles that prove that we are doing something for our Lord. As strange it may sound this morning, listen, I want you to catch every word. As strange as it may sound, we should praise God when the devil comes against us. I knew it'd be quiet, but listen to this. For if the devil's not bothering you, you're not doing anything for God. And if a church is not doing anything for God, the devil won't bother them. But I'm going to tell you, when you rattle the pits of hell, the devil and his demons will come after the church that takes a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am here to tell you, I think we should keep rattling the gates of hell. Amen. I've got confidence. Here's what it says. Jesus told me this. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. So he told me that if I'll keep fighting, I can charge hell with a loaded pistol. Guess what? He has my back. And if God's got his church's back, we can do everything through him who gives us our strength. Amen. We got battles. David knew what it was to do battle. He was a young man who was being used greatly for his Lord. He was around the age of 30 years, and he was appointed as the king of Israel. And some people didn't like that position. They said he was too young to know what he was doing. He was too young to know what he was doing. Well, let me remind you, church. People say that all the time when young folks get on fire for God. If it wasn't sometime for the young folks getting on fire for God, nothing would ever take place for God. The problem is that who've been in church all our life want to sit back and say it's time for somebody else to do it. And then when they start doing it, we start fussing about them doing it. Let me tell you something. If you're not going to do it, let those who are willing to do it, do it. Amen. I can't say it again, but that was good. And they didn't like it. He prospered in his position. And he was on cloud nine. Everything was going great. He thought, here I am, the king, I've been appointed, things are good. And guess what? When you're on cloud nine, battles will always come. When you're on top of the world, guess what happens? The world tilts over and throws you off. When you're having a good day, have you never walked in here on a Sunday morning and you felt so good and things were so great and you felt so lovely and you run into that person and you said, how are you? And they all of a sudden began to bring you down. I don't like this and I don't like that and this is not right. And then have you, is that just me or have you experienced that? Yeah. People just have a way of deflating you when you're on cloud nine. And that's what happened to this young king's life. I mean, he was floating. Everything was wonderful. And a battle came. Now, how's he going to handle his battle? I want to show you something on how he handled his battle. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 5. The first chapter, part of this chapter, tells us about his anointing. He had been anointed, set apart to be king. And then we come to his battle. Now listen before I read the scripture. This is just round one of the battle that he was going to have to face. You say there's more? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You get through one battle, I can assure you, down the road, there will be another battle. I'm going to go ahead and make some still statements. You may like, may not like. That's okay. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ in this century that we live in the next few months, who take a stand against homosexuality are not going to be praised. The churches who take a stand against abortion are not going to be praised. And the churches that take those kind of stands, the devil and his crowd are going to try to quieten them. Let me remind you, Cedar Grove, we're not just sitting here quiet for Jesus. We're to be loud when it comes to the issues that's contrary to the page pages of His Word. You say, I'll make what a compromise. I'll tell you what's happened in our country. We've compromised so much. That's why we're in the mess we are today. You can't compromise. And so when we get through this battle, but I'm going to tell you how we handle every battle that comes. Notice several things. Well, we find out His oppressors. There's a group who came against David to oppress him. Oppress means to terrorize or treat him unjustly, trying to get him to back down. If you stand for something, there always will be those who are against you. Always. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, the Philistines were against David. Now up to that point, listen, up to that point, the Philistines used to have rule of much of the county west of Jerusalem. And they had sat back with their legs crossed and now sat back with their legs crossed in displeasure at the consolation of the tribes under one ruler. Now here's what happened. They had run things and done things the way they wanted it done so long they could not stand it when somebody came in authority and going to tell them what needed to be done. And they didn't like it. And they struck out. And they... When the devil, and we upset devil, and we upset hell, the devil and his crowd will not like it. And they will come after you to shut you up. Now let me remind you of something. If you shut up because the devil and his crowd wants you to shut up, you didn't have enough fire of Jesus in you to start with. They came against you. David describes his oppressors. Here's what he said. He said, the Philistines heard. Well, their ears were always open. They were attentive. Your oppressors are attentive. They listen to see what's going on all around you. If nobody else hears what our church has done and will do in this community, I'll guarantee you the devil and his crowd knows what's going on. You know what's going to be? Listen to this. We don't hear about all the hundreds of shoeboxes we do. We don't hear about all the mission projects of feeding the homeless. We don't hear about all those things. We hear about this person don't like this person, and this person is running down this person, and this person is doing this and doing that. The devil and his crowd will get the bad news out. Let me tell you, I think it's high time that we, the people of God, let some good news out. I think people need to know that Cedar Grove wants to reach people. And I think that people need to know that yes, we've gone through our issues, but guess what? When you go through your battles, thank God you're stronger when you get to the other side. They're always attentive. They knew everything he was doing. They knew everything he was saying. They are always absolutely attentive. When you're busy for God, somebody will try to pull the rug out from under you. And to our young folks in this building, to our youth in this building, to our children in this building, Cedar Grove will have absolutely no future in the years to come if it's not for you. Amen? Now, you ain't going to live forever, church. I'm not going to be here forever. We've got to teach them and train them and show them that church is more when we come here and look at what one another's got on. We've got to teach them that church is where everybody is welcome, everybody's treated the same, and everybody loves everybody. For if we don't, guess what? They'll be in the world with the rest of the crowd, and the church will absolutely die. They're always a today. He said another thing about these oppressors. He said they are active. Not only did he hear that, he said all the Philistines came up to seek David. They went in action. You know what we do in the church when the devil starts fighting? We have to have meeting after meeting after meeting and meeting after meeting after meeting to try to determine what in the world are we going to do. The devil's fighting. We don't know what to do. Which way do we turn? Where do we go? The devil's crowd never calls one meeting. They're so organized, they know what they're going to do to try to stop what's going on. And they began to go after him. The oppressors wanted to crush his government before it ever got started. Don't let anybody stop what you are doing for God. They're attentive. They're active. Did you notice what amazes me is this? How many were coming after Dad? Did it say some? No, it didn't say some. Did you notice how everybody got on the bandwagon to come after David when David was anointed king? Did you notice what it said? There's one little simple word, that A-L-L. All. It's amazing to me that when the devil starts getting his crowd together, people join the devil's crowd, and they really don't know why they're on the devil's crowd, and they really don't know why they're mad, and they don't know why they're upset. But because somebody else is upset, they're upset as well. Let me tell you something. Don't always follow the crowd. Crowd will get you in a mess. They'll get you in a mess. And instead of having to complete that all, somebody needs to stand up and say, all right, it's not about what Ron wants. It's not about what Tim wants. It's not about what the deacons want. It's not about what old folks in the church want. I'll tell you what, one person somewhere needs to stand up and say, it's about time that we discover it's what God wants that matters. Everybody agree with that statement? It's what God wants. It's what God wants. Oh, he knew they were attentive. They were active. Verse 18 says they were aggressive. They came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. That's a fruitful valley, 3 miles in length and 2 miles wide. 3 to 4 miles southwest of Jerusalem. They were very aggressive in number themselves. And now here they come. Well physically built, ready to do battle, ready to wipe out this young man who was on fire, who knew that God had pointed him a place, and he absolutely was down out. He absolutely did not know what to do. I'll tell you one thing. There were no Steve Urkels in that valley. You remember Steve Urkel? You remember that little cutie looking thing? Had that squeaky little voice? There was no Steve Urkels after him. It was the best of the most fit men who was trying to bring him down. You know something? The enemy is willing to do what he needs to do to get the job done. And the sad thing is, many times we'll sit and let the enemy win. The oppressors. But that's not what I want to deal with. I want to show you what he was facing. But let me show you the simple thing. How did he handle his battle? Look at the overcomer. Look at verse 19. Anytime the oppressors attack, there will always be overcomers. Somebody's going to win. Either the devil's crowd or the Lord's crowd. Somebody's going to win. And I personally think, now this is just Ron's opinion, you can throw it out. I personally think that the devil has won enough. I think it's personal time that God will.
Amen.
I think it's time for God. And the only way God's going to win is if we understand and we deal with the issues in our own lives and get things right among each other, and let God be the God that he wants to be. What's David going to do? He knows they're after him. Have you ever felt like everything was breathing down your back? Have you ever felt like just throwing in the towel and quitting? Financially you can't make it. Emotionally you can't make it. Physically you're struggling. Spiritually it's a hard time. You're having problems with your family. You're having problems with your friends. And you just don't know which go. You're trying to figure out where you fit in. You can't find a place to fit in. What in the world are you going to do? What are we going to do? Go to the doctor, get another bottle of pills to take to help calm us down? Yeah. Paul going to do? Well, he had the perfect plan of attack. How was he going to do it? Look at his attack. And David inquired of the Lord. David had a plan. If the enemy's after us, and the enemy's watching us, and the Lord's allowed him to come after us, if they attack us and we do not have a plan, they will absolutely destroy us. There's people out of church this morning because the devil fought them, and they didn't have a plan of attack, and so they just gave in to the devil. I've got news for you. It is time that the church not give in to the devil. It is time for our community not to give in to the devil. It is time for our nation not to give in to the devil. He had a plan. And here's what it consisted of. He looked to the Lord. You can't handle your battles. And we've got to have some help. You can't handle them without the Lord. There was a certain place, verse 17, it said that he went down to the hole. Do you know what that is? Many people debate where that was. Many feel like he went down into Adullam, which was a cave. He went down. Did you notice he went down? He didn't know what to do, so he went down to that cave. And I don't know why. The last few weeks, if you notice, the word cave keeps coming up on Sunday morning. And he went down in that cave from Jerusalem to the cave. And he went there for the quietness so he could think. But he also went there to look to the Lord. Now everybody has got to have a place of quietness to go to. A place where you can go sit down and contemplate what's going on all around us. And it's also a place where we can simply look to the Lord for his help. Now, he didn't have a computer with him to find out all of the facts. He didn't have a color radar to see to plot the oppressors down in the valley. All that was in that little cave, that hole that he was in, was him and the Lord. When the battle's going on, let me tell you, all you need is the Lord. That's all you need is the Lord. All you need is the Lord. If we're going to do battle, we've got to have the Lord. Certain place, he needed a certain presence. He needed a presence with him if he was going to overcome. And he asked two questions. Lord, since it's just me and you talking, since they're after me and I really don't know what to do, did I run high? Do I take my life? Do I give in, throw in the towel? What do I do? Should I go up to the Philistines? Do I go up face to face to face? What am I going to do, Lord? Will I deliver them into my hand? Here's what he said. He said, Lord, if I have to go against them, are you going to give them to me? You better make sure that when you do battle, that you have the Lord on your side. If you've got the Lord on your side, I'll tell you one thing. Let all the darts of hell come against you. You will be victorious when you've got the Lord. Yep. Guess what? There was a plan of attack. He looked to the Lord, but then he listened to the Lord. And the Lord said unto David, go up. He said, it's time. Now he went down into the hole. He said, it's time for you to go up. It's time for us to get out of the cave. We've looked to the Lord. Now it's time for us to listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. When the Lord speaks, no questions should be asked. What's the Lord saying to us this morning? Nothing's closed. It's about 10 minutes after 12. Here's what he's saying. Get up. You've been down, depressed, discouraged long enough. Get up. We're about to face some of the greatest days ahead. We've got Thanksgiving just around the corner. As a church, we have a lot to be thankful for. We're fixing to face Christmas time together. And let me remind you of something. The greatest part of Christmas is realizing that Christ came to be our Savior. And so he's telling us to get up. Go up. Get out of your cave. You've listened to the Lord now. Do exactly what he said to do. Our problem is this. We're so macho and so tough that we don't want to say we're sorry. We're so macho and we're so tough that we think it's everybody else's fault and not ours. And we're so macho and tough, say, I'll fight my battle by myself. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you fight your battle by yourself, you will lose. We watched in the football world with a lot of things happen yesterday. We watched Kansas State, who was not supposed to get beat by Baylor, get beat by Baylor. That wasn't supposed to happen. That's through all their codes and their mess up. The bowl selection gets through everything out. They weren't supposed to get beat. But they did so. We watched number two team, Oregon, get beat when they weren't supposed to get beat. Everybody said nobody could stop Oregon. Nobody could stop Oregon. They got beat. They got beat. Guess what? When the world says they can't do it, God may be just saying, I'll show them we can do it too. When Kansas State didn't think they could do it, Baylor showed them they could do it. I mean, big fashion, too. Big fashion. When Oregon thought they couldn't do it, and they thought they had sold up, they were shown last night by Saturday, they were shown that they couldn't be beat. Let me tell you something, right here. Do you think those Baylor team, after the last tick of the clock, do you think they were excited? Do you think they were? Like a bunch of wild animals, crazy people that were so excited because it wasn't supposed to happen. When he kicked that field goal and won that ball game against Oregon, do you think they were happy? Yeah, they like to kill the poor guy in the middle of the field when they dove on top of him. Can I remind you of something? Why don't we show the world that we're happy? Because Jesus is fighting our battles for us. We got the greatest quarterback of all time. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He lets you be the receiver. He lets me be the receiver. He lets me be the fullback and you be the fullback. He just hands us the gospel and tells us to run with it. And guess what? We're going to be knocked out. We're going to lose some yardage along the way. But I will tell you this. We will be victorious with Jesus as our quarterback. Amen? And I know we got the rival coming up Saturday. Clemson, Carolina. I know it's already the talk. Who's going to win? I'm scared to come to church next Sunday. But who's going to win? We're all excited about that. Clemson's got a good shot. It's going to be a good game. But let me tell you something. Far greater than who wins Clemson, Carolina, is if we've already won with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now I got my pick. And you got your pick. But I'll tell you one thing. If it came down to who's going to win that ball game or who's going to win when this world is over, I'll take my odds on Jesus any day. He's going to help us fight our battles. We've got to look to the Lord. This is the Lord. And did you notice something else that happened very quickly? The praise of attack. Look at what happened in verse 20. Look what he said, verse 20. And David came to Bel-Hurst. And David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth unto my enemies before me as the breach of waters. Here's what happened. David came to this place called Bel-Hurst. You know what that word means? You say it's coincidence. No, it's not. Nothing's coincidence about it. You know what that word means? He came to the place that means the Lord breaks out. That's what the word means. The Lord breaks out. Can I remind you of something? One of these days we're going to be in this sanctuary and the Lord's going to break out. And when the Lord's going to break out, some of us are going to